This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert's out today. A recent study shows nearly 40% of news stories on mental illness link mental health problems to violent behavior, even though less than 5% of violence in the U.S. is linked to mental health issues. That comes from a study by the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which looked at news reports on violence over a 20-year period. Assistant Professor Beth McGinty worked on the report. She joins us now. Beth, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get to the media side of your study and what maybe the media is getting wrong about linking mental illness and violence, let's talk about maybe the right way to think about it. How should we think about the connection or maybe lack of connection between mental health problems and violence?
Well, the research evidence shows that most people with serious mental illness, which is a category that includes conditions like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, are never violent toward other people. There is, in a small number of cases, an elevated risk of violence associated with psychotic symptoms like hallucinations or delusions, but that's very much the minority. Most people with mental illness will never be violent toward other people. And what's more, the research evidence clearly shows that most interpersonal violence, violence directed at other people in the United States, is not caused by mental illness. Only about 3 to 5% of all violence in our nation has an underlying cause related to mental illness.
So if I can say that back to you, people with mental illness, with diagnosable mental illness, generally don't represent any greater threat of violence, and most violence is not connected to a diagnosable mental illness.
That's correct.
Well, now let's turn to the media now. That was the focus of this study. You looked at media coverage of violence and of mental illness. What kind of things did you find when it came to connecting those two?
So what we did is look at news coverage in a sample of high circulation and high viewership newspapers and television transcripts over the past two decades, 1995 to 2014. And we looked at news stories that were focused on mental illness and then examined the content of those news stories and how it changed or did not change over time. And what we found was that there were very few changes in news media coverage of mental illness over that period, and that a large segment, about 40% of all news coverage about mental illness, linked mental illness with interpersonal violence, which is disproportionate to the actual research evidence-based link that I just described.
So what kind of reporting would that look like? I assume it has to do with crime reporting. I would think of mass shooting situations. Are those the kind of stories where that link was often made?
Yes, that's correct. We saw in the second decade of the study an increase in the proportion of stories that linked mental illness with mass shootings specifically, which probably resonates with listeners as we've had a series of high-profile mass shootings over that time period, some of which had a documented mental illness involved.
And the assumption, I think, from people is often that to commit a mass shooting, there must be something wrong with that person. There must be something mentally wrong with that person. But from the standpoint of diagnosing mental illnesses, that's not necessarily true, right?
That's correct. So I think it's clear that anyone who commits violence towards another person, a mass shooting or any other type of violence, is not what anyone would consider mentally well. But that does not necessarily mean that they have a diagnosable and treatable mental illness. The issue could have to do with emotional regulation or anger or a whole host of other risk factors for interpersonal violence, like substance use or a history of abuse or trauma in their life that are the causal factor driving that violence.
As I understand it, on the flip side, your research found not only this negative connection, this connection between mental illness and violence being made in media reports, but a lack of positive coverage, of talking about, say, people with mental illnesses living positive everyday lives or of successful treatment. Is that right?
That's right. So while we know that these news media portrayals of mental illness and violence are stigmatizing, they cause readers and viewers to increase social stigma towards people with mental illness, positive portrayals of successful treatment and recovery do not increase stigma, and by some measures actually decrease stigma. And so ideally, we would like to see more of those positive portrayals, but we only saw them in about 14% of news stories about mental illness.
We're talking to Beth McGinty from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health about new research on media coverage of issues of mental illness and of violence. The finding: media connect mental illness and violence way more than they're connected in reality. You just mentioned, Beth, stigma. How important a part of that of the story is that?
This is a very important part of the story. So we know, we have good experimental research showing that exposure to news stories about mental illness and violence, especially very serious, high-profile acts of violence like mass shootings, increases social stigma towards people with serious mental illness. It increases the misperception that people are likely to be dangerous, which in turn increases fear toward people with mental illness and leads to unwillingness to work with people with mental illness or live near people with mental illness. And that stigma has really negative effects on those with serious mental illness themselves. It can lead to unwillingness to seek treatment because they don't want to disclose their condition. It can lead to discrimination in housing and employment, which contributes to high rates of unemployment and homelessness, as well as criminal justice involvement in this population.
So it ultimately, the stigma conveyed by these news stories makes it worse, the condition worse for someone dealing with a mental illness, it sounds like.
Yes, that's correct.
So I know you're not in the newsrooms, but if you were, what kind of things would you tell producers or suggest to producers that they do to round out their coverage, to portray more sides, more positive sides, more realistic sides of the story of mental illness?
Well, I think there are several improvements that can be made. One is to not assume or speculate about a role of mental illness in interpersonal violence unless it's actually documented. So in the mass shooting example, in some of the recent mass shootings that we've had, serious mental illness played a documented role. For example, the Tucson shooting where Gabrielle Giffords was wounded. The perpetrator of that shooting was subsequently diagnosed with schizophrenia. So in that scenario, I don't think there's any expectation that reporters fail to accurately report that fact. However, what we've seen is that there's often an assumption that serious mental illness must have been involved, even in the absence of that sort of documentation. And so I think step number one is sort of avoiding that kind of speculative link, which, you know, links mental illness and violence in the eyes of audiences, even though it hasn't been documented as fact. The other piece, I think, is really trying to balance coverage of mental illness and violence with coverage of successful treatment and recovery. We are in an era of a lot of advances in treatment and other evidence-based services like supported employment and housing for people with mental illness that really work very well, and there are lots of success stories out there. Given that those kinds of stories we know don't have the negative effects on stigma and can't even reduce stigma, we really need a shift toward those topics.
Beth, thanks so much for sharing this research with us.
Thank you.
That was Beth McGinty from Johns Hopkins University.